You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Deadline Dilemmas ahead of blank game week 29. I almost said blank double game week, but it's blank game week 29 with Fantasy Football Scout. And as always, I'm here with Praz. How's it going, Praz?
Good. You were right. It is a blank double game week because this week we had our double. That shout out to Zabarni. I should know his pronunciation now. But even others, right? People who didn't also had Zabarni probably had Barkley or Doughty, or some had both. So good week. So we enjoyed the double game week bonanza, and now we enjoy the blank game week bonanza.
And it feels like this is the game week we've been looking forward, well, not even looking forward to, but we've been talking about it.
Fixated
loads.
On.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it gets to the week and everyone's like, oh, what do we do? This looks awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's gone from these are the probabilities for this week to what are the upsets that could happen to, okay, these are the confirmed fixtures to, are you free hitting or not free hitting, and people fighting over which is the right strategy. To be honest, mostly looking forward to getting done with this week, because then the real fun starts with all good teams again, game week 30 and beyond.
That's the thing. It's back to hits, wild cards and all that stuff. But I guess
exactly.
At least this week we can just concentrate on 29, getting through
as
29.
Simple as that.
Although we are recording during the Villa game, so we've just seen Watkins walk off the field. I mean, more could happen in the second half as well. So we haven't got the full picture yet.
This was always the risk with the two key teams, West Ham and Villa, playing on Thursday. But look, I mean, we've got very contrasting outcomes from the two games, where West Ham winning 5-0, obviously easier opposition than Villa. Then that gives you some kind of a pull to buy more West Ham players. And then on the other side, Watkins is in. Should we just start with Watkins? Because everyone wants to know what we think of Watkins and what should they do, free hit or not free hit. So
I think we should. It's breaking news, basically.
Exactly. So look, he got this knee injury. He then played on. He scored a goal. He then basically fell, asked for a substitution, and then he was taken, helped off the field by Bailey. So that's what we know. Now, some people, the pessimists will say that he could still start. We don't know. This happened against Bournemouth and he got that goal and assist. And we won't know, right? I mean, I don't even know if Emery has a press conference tomorrow. I think the optimist will say the England game is really important here, because they will have they have announced the squad. He's in it. But if he withdraws from the squad, now that's a red flag. And you know that he probably doesn't make the West Ham game. Otherwise, you just play and hope to sort of get a start. But for free hitters, it then becomes a little bit of a dilemma. I mean, where are you with Watkins?
I mean, I think you made a really good point on the England squad, because not only that, it's not just any England squad. Like, this is the final England squad before the teams picked for the Euros.
And two tough games.
And two tough games. And I mean, Watkins is obviously, there's been strong arguments to have him in the side. I mean, some people are trying to argue he should be in the starting 11, but let's not go that far. But he's competing with Tony, because it's a 23-man squad as well. So I think, yeah, if there's any chance he's going to be, you know, that he can be fit, I think he wouldn't just pull out as a precaution.
Exactly.
He would pull out if he's, you know, if he's not going to be able to play. That's my my thoughts on it. Really early thoughts, though, aren't they?
Absolutely. And that, for me, is a bigger barometer than whatever Unai Emery says. If he's basically, by tomorrow, we hear that Watkins' injury is bad and he's pulled out of England, that's a red flag. And for me, then that even becomes a sell if you're on a not on a free hit, potentially. I mean, we'll talk about Watkins and what you should do with him if you're not on a free hit. And for free hitters, that would be enough for me to say that I'm just going to go with someone else, because he's not going to play, even if he's okay. But if he withdraws from England, that's a big enough red flag that he doesn't either start or he has limited minutes in that game against West Ham. Simple as that.
Well, it is interesting. I know you said talk about it later, but I mean, I know just one team I'm looking at that's playing through without free hit is that Andy, FPL mode. And I know he's bringing in Tony this week, and I think he's bringing in Tony for Solanke. But like you say, I think it would be, if Watkins is definitely out, you can then keep Solanke. He's got Everton at home in 30. And yeah, just get rid of Watkins. Although I guess people are going to have a lot of value tied up, but his fixtures do turn horrific.
He was a sell after game week 30 anyway, for Darwin or Isak. And I think he's just a sell. Now, obviously, with that strategy, if you're not on a free hit and you, instead of taking out a Solanke, you take out a Watkins, you are one player shorter than you would have been if Watkins was fit. So, but yeah, it does work from a longer term perspective. If you were going to move him on, I mean, some people are looking at Muniz, for example, to afford somebody like a Salah in game week 30, it could be Watkins. But I don't think we can say now, because let's say the other thing, which is basically, let's say he's still part of the squad and Emery comes out. If he does, he'll probably be asked at the end of the game anyway, so we need to wait for those quotes. If he comes out and says that he's okay, he's 50-50, we'll see, he's still in the England squad, I think he's an easy hold then, because that's an extra player that you get and you don't need to do anything with him.
Then the dilemma's probably on the free hitters more than the non-free
hitters. Yeah.
And I know you mentioned it to me before we started, before we went live, about the situation with Watkins. Was it against Bournemouth, was it?
Bournemouth, where people sold him for Darwin, right?
Yeah, guilty, and was guilty of that. And yeah. So, yeah, it would be another situation. I mean, I suppose if you know he's going to make the bench, a bit like a lot of other risky players for 29, you just take the one-pointer and hope it's more. But, I mean, we might see, in 45 minutes' time, we might see Watkins doing laps of the pitch, running around, sliding on the pitch. So let's wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, so I think it's good to talk both scenarios.
Yeah.
I think in the scenario where he's iffy, but Emery is more positive and he's still in the England squad, I think a lot of free hitters will just say, we'll start him. And if he cameos, then I'm in the same boat as 99.9% of the people. If he doesn't play and I get a sub on, I win, or I get more points from my first sub. And if he plays, then I'm fine as well. So maybe that's the way people will look at it.
No matter how late in the week we record, we can't. There's always some like hot topic or bit of drama to discuss. But
your tweet always I always remember your tweet, which is wait for more information. Every time when you get more information, the next step is to wait for more information.
It's so true though. Like, it's so true. I remember that FA Cup round. I was so excited about it. All the results happen, then it's like, oh, now we wait. It's so true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so should we get into, I guess we're getting to this game week. And as always, we're using Rob T's golden clean sheet odds, which I've just put on the screen now. But obviously, there's only four games. So, and they're very, very hard to call this week. There's not an absolute domination. I mean, if we look at all the away teams are favourites to win, which is a bit of a unique quirk of this week as well. We haven't got that easy like home banker, and every team's projected to score between 1.25 goals, which is Burnley, and then 1.85, which is Tottenham, which is, I mean, it's a pretty small gap between all eight of them.
Yeah, because as you said, the better team is away.
Yeah.
So you can't project. I mean, if these fixtures were reverse, I would say Brentford would be 2+ to score against Burnley at home. I would say Forest would be even 2+ against Luton. Spurs would definitely be 2+, and maybe even Villa. So it's just the away factor which changes things. But that's, with reason, because away teams tend to do worse than home teams in general. So look, I mean, I don't have much to say in terms of calling these games, because they are close. I mean, all I would say is let's talk defense and let's talk attack. In defense, I don't think people have any choice but to just pick defenders that can get attacking returns, and then you pray for a clean sheet. And I think that's where most free hit drafts are going, because they're looking at Doughty, Reguilon, Poro, or now a new name has entered the hat, Cresswell. That's where people are, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's been looking at those attacking defenders, and obviously we need Reguilon to be fit because he's probably one of the template back three. We don't know what's happening with the Villa defenders until the end of the game. You know, let's see who plays 90 minutes, or I mean, it could technically be more, could it? Yeah, so I was just seeing what the latest score is. It's still, oh, it's 1-0, isn't it?
It's
1-0,
yeah.
It's 1-0. So, yeah, I do think I want, just from defenders, I mean, looking at the odds, I mean, Brentford are only a smidgen ahead of the next best, which is Forest. Forest are 25% for those listening, and then Brentford have got a 29% chance for clean. Right. So I do want something from Brentford, whether it's Flecken or the double, but I mean, I'm not feeling a triple up. I think I just want one, just because I feel better about myself that I've got, you know, the best chance for a clean sheet.
So you're saying one from Brentford only?
No, at least one. I think I did look at some drafts that didn't have any Brentford defenders, and I just think that's...
Oh, really?
But that's just leaving myself too exposed. Like, I know it's only maybe 5% between some of these, but I've still got...
But then who else, right? The problem is whenever someone discusses their pick in free hit and they say they don't really feel it, you will also not feel it in whoever else you go for, you know, because that's just the week it is. You can make an argument for any player to be in or any player to be out. You could tell me Wissa is a good pick, or Bailey is a good pick, or Luiz is a good pick, or Paqueta is a good pick. Yeah, they're all decent picks. And so same goes for defense. And I think you have nothing more than just saying who's going to get attacking returns in defense. And I think Reguilon, Doughty and Poro are the three most attacking defenders here, unless Cresswell plays. Cresswell was on corners today. I didn't watch the game. But so that's the starting point. And then in goalkeepers, again, you have no other metric than clean sheet odds to decide who you should have as a goalkeeper.
And then, as we all know, that goalkeepers are so random where, you know, Flecken's got the best chance of a clean sheet, but I can't see Burnley, you know, having like 9 shots on target, 10 shots on target, anything like that. Yeah. Where you're going to get the absolute haul. And also, just watching the game yesterday, I know we spoke a little bit before the game and I was looking at two Luton defenders. And I mean, after the first half, that was feeling like pretty like, oh, that actually, that could work.
That could work, yeah.
Then the second half happened and it was like, oh no, that probably can't work. And that's why I've not been a fan of owning Doughty for so long. Yeah. Because, you know, even in that, what did he get? Five points in a double. Yeah, he got 5, didn't he? Over 2 games, yeah. Yeah. And he got an attacking return.
Yeah.
And that over 1 game. And I still think Doughty's the most important defender because the clean sheet odds are so low. He does have genuine attacking output, but 22% chance of a clean sheet. I guess that's mainly because they're playing Forest.
mainly because they're Luton. I mean, are you saying 22 is high?
I think it seems quite high.
Okay. It's high for them. Yeah. I mean, their games are fun, right? I mean, you'll see my free hit draft. Basically, my takeaway from yesterday's game was I need more players in that game, Luton Forest. Maybe 2 each. And that's where maybe end up. I've got double midfield and I've got Morris and I've got Doughty. But Morris is first bench, but maybe he plays if Watkins is out. But we'll come to my draft in a second. I do want to also shout out Colm, who's mentioned Nico Williams. He's a decent shout as well. Because Nuno's playing 4-5 at the back. I should know this.
No, he is. And I think Nico's played a lot of games in a row now as well.
He's fairly nailed.
Yeah, so there's him or there's Toffolo, who I don't think is as nailed. And I don't think with the defenders I want to be playing like roulette, like... A couple of the Brentford defenders, actually the popular Brentford defenders could become that.
Yep.
As in Reguilon, obviously he's come back from this injury and it was a hamstring injury. So I like the Nico Williams shout. And that's the game, actually, Luton Forest. I feel like I could go for 3 of either, not both. But I just don't know which way to go. What, and have 6 from them?
No, not 6. I mean, at least like 1 or 2 from each. Like to have... Basically, if you turn it, instead of clean sheet odds and goal scoring odds, if you turn it and say number of goals scored in the game, I would bet this is the game that has the most number of goals in the game in total.
I could see that. But I mean, so something, I wasn't that hot on Morris on Scoutcast, and now I am. I'm going to go Morris no matter what. Like he was very unlucky not to score yesterday as well.
He was, yeah.
I think it was the only save Neto made was from Morris. But... yeah, I just don't know. I wouldn't go for a midfielder from Luton. That's the thing. I don't really fancy the Barkley pick.
Yeah.
Despite him scoring yesterday. So, I mean, there's 2 Forest midfielders we could go for, but there's some minutes risk and penalty uncertainty, I suppose. And it all depends on your mate, Chris Wood, really, doesn't it? Because
it does. It does.
He's the one who could take penalties. And I know you did a lot of research into that. Like, it feels like months ago now when you owned Wood for a while.
Well, Wood for me is we'll take the pen if they get it. But Gibbs White, you know, Wood won't be on the pitch the whole time. Awoniyi will come on, whether it comes on for him or not, we don't know. But I think I've spoken to a few Forest fans and they think that Nuno loves Chris Wood. And because he's the striker, he's good at pens, that he'll take them. But I don't know enough. I don't know enough. Like, you know, Gibbs White has got a good record. He's been taking the penalties. I just think the Ilanga is a good shout anyway, because I looked at the underlying data for Gibbs White. I'm not that impressed.
No, I was actually, you know, I actually looked yesterday for the first time in a while, because I know models are massive on him.
Yeah.
But yeah, the
because
underlying data
pen
is
share.
Poor. Yeah, so pen share, and I guess he does get 90 minutes.
And set pieces, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
so you can see why.
Yeah, I was surprised, because I remember, I think it was at the end of last season, he finished really, really strongly, like stats and actual returns.
Yeah.
And I've kind of had him in the back of my mind for like a long time. And I know people like Jan, you know, like FPL Jan, he's owned Gibbs White, I feel, for like the whole season.
And Kaz.
And Kaz as well, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the models love it, and it just depends on that pen share. And I just don't want to go risky minutes. This week, I really don't want to.
Look, the other elephant in the room is there might be leaks on Saturday, right? I mean, they have been instances where there have been some Forest leaks, not every time. So we'll see. If I knew Ilanga starting or Chris Wood is starting, I think I prefer them over Gibbs White. Where I am now.
There was a Forest leak that was wrong once, and it was only Aina or someone, but
I remember that.
It was still wrong. So, and I mean, it just feels like it could be a week where someone thinks, oh, this would be a funny time to prank, you know, their mini league rivals got free hit.
I mean, by this time, I think people should now because this has become the norm this season. I think by this time, people know who are the trustworthy sources, maybe not for Forest. And if it's not a trustworthy source, then just chuck it, then don't believe it.
I think that's the thing. We're looking at teams here. Like, so there's four teams that we could reasonably get a leak for: Luton, Forest, Brentford, Burnley.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who specialises in those teams. Like, I speak to Bricky a lot if I want to know the Luton team, but he's just, you know, making an educated guess.
Yeah, of course. That's old school FPL.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But if there was an actual leak, he'd tell me about that, and I don't think there is.
But, you know, the other thing is usually you don't know because nobody cares.
True. That's very true.
Who cares if Vista is starting? Nobody cares. But maybe this time people care, so maybe we find out. I don't know. I'm just speculating here.
No, you make a good point. There was a while ago on the Palace forums that someone used to post their team every week and no one cared about it because it was Palace. And I remember there was a goalkeeper I had and it was good to check just to find out if my keeper was playing. But as soon as it becomes public knowledge, they stop. Like,
exactly.
They resent FPL players.
I don't think there's nothing more to say. I would, looking at these odds, there's one point I wanted to make is I don't think we can stress out too much about who that third magical defender can be or who that fifth midfielder or the third striker can be, because the odds are telling us that you're basically straddling between a 22 to 27% chance of being right on any pick. And that's just, you just have to live with that, you know, those in your three picks that you're basically going random in a way, because you could go anywhere here. You could be right with one and you will be wrong with two. Just live with that. And if you're wrong with all three, sorry. And if you're right with more, then great. But I think that just helps me personally, because otherwise in weeks like this, you think, oh, I debated Paqueta this whole time and I went Kudus because he scored a brace. How could I do that? Or, you know, I went Morgan Gibbs-White instead of this guy. Ilanga looked much better. It's just a 33% chance. I think we have to remember that and not be hard on ourselves when the actual result comes out.
No, I fully agree. I think the reason I sound a bit indecisive if I'd go triple Luton or triple Forest is something we haven't discussed, which is just, you know, you can go for a safe team that's projected to get the most points. You know, you've got the, you know, Brentford defenders, you've got the best chance for a clean sheet. But you can obviously end up with players against each other, can't you? You can end up with, like, you're playing Doughty, but then you're playing two or three Forest attackers and you're hedging. Whereas if you went triple Luton, Like the idea I had yesterday that I'm not going to do like two Luton defenders and Morris. Don't go for Eddie Forrest because it's, you know, it's such a close call. If you get that right, you can absolutely fly. A bit like people who play like daily fantasy games. I don't play many myself, but
it's you increase your ceiling if you pick your horses and those horses are from the same team or one team, not against the other. Then yeah, you're right, because both doubt it's very low likelihood that both Doughty has a haul, a 15 pointer haul, and Morgan Gibbs-White has a 15 point haul. That just is very, very unlikely.
That's the thing. I mean, what happened yesterday was extreme, like with Zivani getting you know, what was it, 6 points.
Correct. And Kabore and Doughty getting returns. Exactly. And the strikers. Yeah, that's rare.
Exactly. So we're not going to get four goals with defender goals. It's very, very unlikely.
I feel I should, you know, it worked when I was doing the wire. I feel I should stress no defenders are going to get attacking returns this week. It's not the week to get them.
Oh, that's bold. I hadn't actually listened yet, so I didn't realize that.
No. I said,
oh, did you say before Zivani? Week,
I said, there is no chance in hell that he gets any attacking return. So I'm just going to repeat it and say there's no chance that Doughty, Porro or Reguilon get anything this week.
Well, something I said on Scoutcast, I said Zivani feels like a 2 or a 6 pointer. So in a way, I was absolutely 100% right because he got a 2 pointer, then a 6. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
But should we move on? We've got some. So obviously, this is the team overview. These are the team odds. You then found this. I'm assuming this is Simon's put this together. It's just a guess. No, but
this is also Rob team.
Oh, this is also Rob. Sorry, Rob.
So Rob, basically, when people looked at that and they said, hey, look, the average number of goals is so low and the average clean sheet odds are so low. So he then basically shared this and said, guys, on average, the expected goals is 1.5. This week, the expected goals are 1.5. On average, the clean sheet odds are 25%. This week, the clean sheet odds are 22%. So it is not that bad a week. I think the problem is the standard deviation, which is basically saying there is no fixture where, you know, Liverpool are playing Sheffield United, mm-hmm. where everybody can triple up. But for people who are on free hit, I also want to tell you, whenever Liverpool plays Sheffield United, everybody has Salah, has Captain Salah, everybody has Darwin, and everybody has Trent. I'm just using an example. So you don't really make the same gains. So there is opportunity here. Somebody will still score goals. Somebody might still keep a clean sheet. It's not that bad. Yeah, it's probably going to be a 50-point week for free hitters. For non-free hitters, around a 40-point week. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. It's still worth it. And it's still worth putting out 11 players or getting as close to 11 as you can and to avoid hits and use a free hit instead if you have to use 5 hits or 6 hits.
No, I like that way of seeing it, actually. That's really useful because obviously I hadn't seen this till you sent it to me earlier. And it just gets you thinking because obviously so many weeks we have, like you say, we have all the big players from the big teams. Like we're Captain Haaland, we're Play Foden, City will win 4-0 and we feel like geniuses. So I guess now it's almost like playing on hard mode or harder mode anyway.
Exactly. Villev's just scored, Bailey.
Oh, wow. So he could be one we're talking about.
Bailey, Paqueta, Kudus have all scored this week. Oh, man.
Yeah, no, this is, I almost want to like disregard it a little bit. Like, because I don't want to get these things in my head. Like I had at halftime with Luton thinking, oh, Luton are the best team in the league.
Correct.
But yeah, I've also put another Rob T screenshot on the screen. So this is just this is player level. So we've done team level. This is player level. So I guess this also links in with captaincy before we get to our possible free hit teams. So, I mean, Son and Tony, like, absolutely lead the way here, don't they?
They do. I think they're the two best picks. And I think people debating Muniz versus Tony, I mean, it's not close. I mean, maybe Tony is not in form and maybe Muniz offers you something like a upgrade in another position later. But Tony is clearly the better pick this week. I mean, expected goals of, 0.61? That's big. That's big number.
I got most of it. We got most of it.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting looking at like where Morris is, for example, because obviously Morris is in that bracket with a 1 year, with Fofana, with Munez, like all really, really close. They're all between 0.44 projected goals and 0.39. So I guess it's just with Morris, you've got the minutes.
He's a good minutes guy, isn't he? Does he get
As in, I think that's why I feel more comfortable with him because you've got the minutes. Where someone like a 1 year, you're really gambling if you go for him, because obviously you've just talked about Wood, for example.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at Morris. Do you think that 30% share is reasonable? That he gets 30% of Luton's goals?
I mean, based on yesterday, no. But but I mean, he did, like we said, he had that big chance.
Yeah. I guess if he gets 30% of XG or not, or I mean, I'll have to think about it. I've been very off Morris, maybe wrongly, but when I look at data like this and I look at, you know, this is why unbiased friends like models or stats work, because sometimes you have a bias which you then need to see, is this a bias that I'm just trying to be different because non-free hitters have Morris, or should I be thinking about it more? So I need to think about Morris a little bit more, because if he's this high in terms of expected goals and he's higher than Awuni, higher than Muniz, higher than Chris Wood, higher than Bissa, who seems to be a new emerging darling, then there is something to it. And is it just the penalties or is it something else? If Adebayo is still out, that helps the minutes as well, or it helps his positioning.
That's
so
a big thing.
I'll watch that.
Adebayo is a big thing. And I think that's why on Monday I was a little bit colder on Morris. But also, I suppose if we looked at the last screen, it's what they're projected to score 1.4 goals. So obviously them scoring four goals is an outlier, isn't it? So maybe it is in the real world where Luton are probably going to average, you know, 1 to 2 goals every week. You know, he's on penalties. That's going to be a big chunk of it. And just actually being on the pitch.
I mean, I don't know if you've talked to Bricky, who's a friend of yours, who's a Luton fan.
Yep.
What do you think is their reaction? And now we're getting into very narrative territory. Like, they've just had, it's very tiring, right? You're 3-0 up. Or actually, tiring is not the word, demoralizing. You're 3-0 up, you lose 4-3. You could have gone above Forest in the last game and now you're playing them. How would you think they'd react?
I mean, I've not actually spoke to him since the game, because he messaged at half-time when they were 3-0 up saying, I've seen us lose 4-3 when we're 3-0 up. And obviously they did. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because you've still got to be delighted you went 3 goals up by half-time. I think it's something we've got to ignore. There seems to be too many narratives we can put in. I mean, they're
but
obviously
Rich, losing four goals, 3-0 up. I mean, imagine that journey back home. I mean, Bonner to Luton is not that far.
Not too far, but...
I
get what you're saying, I do. But like
not
you said,
even a draw.
They keep scoring, though. They are scoring goals. I mean, I think it was last week we said the last time they hadn't scored was against Man United, like a Premier League game. Yeah, I was quite against Morris, and just it's changed my mind a little bit. But I feel like we are picking, though, between very middling picks here. So
exactly.
I kind of like to go back to the rule of 90 minutes and penalties is good.
For a team that is expected to go similar-ish goals than other teams. I think you've made my mind.
When you're comparing it to players like, I mean, Muniz, we don't think's on pens. Fofana, Burnley fans think he might be. And Wanyi, he's not on pens, is he, at all? So,
no.
But obviously, I guess but that part of that's all baked into these odds, isn't it? That
It is. I mean, there's a couple of questions on strikers in the chat. So why is Awuni not getting the minutes? It's because he's come off an injury and he's not showing the same, you know, rhythm, I suppose. And also Nuno loves Chris Wood. And this Broya thing, which has been going on, it is absolute bullshit. So sorry to have that view.
Nope.
That he has to start this 10 game. I mean, Fulham have known this since they did the loan. The internet has found out this week. That does not mean that because the internet has found out that Fulham will say, oh, we're going to save 4 million and now start to play this other guy instead of this other guy who's been scoring every single game. One position in the Premier League is what, 3 million?
Yeah, exactly. And 4 million is nothing to a Premier League club. And like you said, they've noticed before. I've noticed there's been a lot of clickbait. I think there's a lot of football articles now where journalists realise if they clickbait it towards FPL, it's going to get more eyes. Like the Neto interview the other day.
The Neto one. Yeah, I saw what you said.
And then obviously with this Muniz thing, like you said, he's got to play. Once you actually click on it, he's got to play every single game. So Brozier's got to play every single Premier League game to avoid it. So...
Can you imagine the backlash if they started playing Broya every game and Muniz doesn't get another start till the end of the season? Can you imagine?
Someone did say, why don't they start him and take him off after 2 minutes?
If that's the clause.
But yeah, just get the money. But yeah, I think that's worth ignoring. I think, should we move on to our drafts? Because we've talked a lot about the picks. But
yeah,
and obviously these can change. But yours is on the screen now. And obviously this was pre-Watkins.
Okay, I don't have an open, but I will go by memory. I've got Flecken in goal. I've got Reguilon, Porro, and Doughty.
Yep.
This is the first time I'll own a Luton player all season, by the way. So that's
Oh, wow. You're starting with Doughty.
Exactly. I have no doubt that he'll be in my team. Sorry about that. Then I have Son, Madison, and Bowen. I don't think these three guys are leaving the team. And I'm pretty sure, apart from Porro, my defense is not changing. Or maybe even Flecken, actually. But we'll come to who are still not locks. Then the two midfield slots are open. At the moment, after watching the game, I was like, look, I want a Forest attacker. Then I started talking to some fans and they're like, you have to get Elanga. He's the guy. He's going to start. Mark Southern thinks he'll start. I talked to a couple of other fans, Joe and Matt, shout out to them. They all think Elanga is the better pick. And then I think Morgan Gibbs-White is also a good pick. So I just put both of them in. It might change into Chris Wood plus, you know. So I was tempted by double Forest. Rested, all the narrative of rested, playing a big game, attacking. Luton is always open for goals. So there, and I don't think Tony is a lock. Watkins was a lock. We'll see where he is. But I think we've already talked about Watkins at the beginning of the stream or on what the views will be on him. If he's out of the England squad, then he's out of my team. I'll start Morris. If he's in the England squad, I'll probably start Watkins and keep Morris first bench. That's where I am at the moment.
Where would you lie on? So let's just pretend Watkins is out, because regardless, you know, it's a dead spot because everyone's going to have Watkins if he's fit. So you've got the two Forest mids. Let's say you're confident that Chris Wood starts for some reason, and obviously you're confident he's on pens.
Would
you go for him over Morris?
No, I wouldn't go triple attack. No. I think that's too much. I think I think double Forest is enough, because Forest could lose 1-0, man. I mean, well, I agree. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, Forest are not great. I'm trying to word that well, but I mean,
it could be a 1-1 with a defender. I mean, I don't think I'm putting three eggs in. I could put three eggs in the Spurs attack basket, and I did debate a draft with Johnson instead of a Porro. But then the problem I have with that is that my defense, I don't like anybody else. So Cresswell would be one where he has, you know, he was good tonight, but this was his second start. Does he play again? I don't know what the Emerson situation is. So I'm not too comfortable. And also it's West Ham. I don't want... Basically, if Watkins is out, I'd like only Bowen from that game, because I don't want to call it. They both played on Thursday. Villa could beat them. You could have the narrative that Villa are desperate for a bounce back. They're beating Ajax tonight. That's huge. Mm-hmm. So it's a big game, and they would be on the up. Or you could have the narrative, oh, Watkins is out. West Ham just had an easy game, so they'll be more up for it. They're at home. You can have any narrative, and I'll believe any narrative.
Nice. I mean, I like the team. I do. There's just different ways of doing it here, aren't there? Most teams seem to have just two or three differences. And obviously, Watkins could open this up even further. So, I mean, one striker you've not mentioned with that is Muniz. So is he just...
I'm not interested
just not going there. No, I feel the same. I feel there's so many other strikers. And I just think Morris is... I've just bumped Morris up above him after that midweek game.
I would have Wood and Tony and Morris above Muniz. So that's just what it is. And it's fine if I'm wrong. I mean, that's fine. But I was tempted by Iwobi a little bit. But I just think, look, Fulham, if they do well against Spurs, it's fine. Not the end of the world. But I'm happy to go against... There are certain cases where you have to call the game. So I'm calling Spurs to win, hopefully by a clean sheet. I'm calling Luton and Forest to have a lot of goals. Therefore, I don't have any defenders. I count Doughty as an attacker. So I don't want any defenders from that game. I don't want much involvement in the Villa-West Ham game, especially if Watkins is out. But even if he's not out, at 100% EO, for me, he's not in. So I don't want much exposure there. And then in the last game, the Brentford one, I'm very interested in. I'm trying to call a Brentford win, hopefully as a clean sheet. Now, obviously, I'll be wrong on 3 out of 4. But if I'm right in one, at least that's the direction I want to go in.
Nice. And goalkeeper, are you set on Flecken? You know, I love talking about goalkeepers.
The debate is between three for me: Flecken, Martinez, and Leno, for different reasons. I think Flecken, highest clean sheet odds. Martinez, the best penalty saver, I think, in the list. And Leno, because I think he'll face the most number of shots for save points. Those are the only three that I have in my mind.
I hadn't even considered Leno. Hadn't even considered him, but he does have a huge, huge ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's part of it, though, from a fun point of view. Like, a lot of us are going to go at least... Well, we're all going to go three spares if we're on free hit. And I think non-free hitters will be on the same triple spares as well, unless they're holding Richarlison for some reason.
Yeah.
I think it would take a bit of fun out of it.
I don't, to me, I'm going to assume because of the EO that I don't own the core players. I'm not worried about Spurs attack. So if I have to go Spurs attack versus Leno, I don't care. If Leno keeps a clean sheet, I would actually gain way more than, you know, the loss from a Madison and her son. Not son's going to be 160-70% EO anyway, maybe even more. So I don't worry about it too much. And I understand the hedge versus taking a view, but I think at some point you just have to look at each position in isolation and say, if I think the best keeper is Leno, then I'm going to pick Leno, even if he concedes to Spurs.
Talking of EO, actually, how much consideration have you given to EO? Because something in my head has been another little bonus of Morris. Well, I'm torn here because I do like going against it, but there's this non-free hit template.
Yeah.
And it's going to have, like, Morris is going to be key on it because people have sold Haaland to get to Morris and obviously Areola. Now, Areola I've completely ruled out. I'm not going there. Don't care. But yeah. there is that little bonus with Morris that at least our free hits won't be destroyed if Morris turns up and scores like a brace or a hat trick. Or
I'm trying not to think about it.
Yeah.
Because you will have four other players that will give you an edge. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very unlucky for that to happen. So, I mean, not really, but yeah, I can't lie that you don't think about, you know, like I am also thinking, but I would never pick Areola, like you said. That's just fine. If Areola saves another penalty, then so be it. Shit happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I agree. I'm just going to put mine out. I mean, mine doesn't look that much different at all. And I haven't actually clicked the button yet, although I...
Have you not?
I haven't. Well, the money doesn't matter, does it? So... I've had to use FPL team because, yeah, I haven't clicked the button yet.
I did it on Sunday. I was so bored.
I was just thinking, is there a chance something happens and I won't want to free hit? And probably not. There's probably more chance something happens to me that I don't want to, that, you know, and then I haven't activated my free hit. But, yeah, my team's quite similar. So we've got the same defenders and keeper at the moment. I think Reguilon, I don't want to go there if we're not 100% sure he's going to start. But then... finding someone else is really, really difficult. And it's why I was looking at another Luton wing back, like a Kabore or even Burke's got good numbers. I know he's a centre back, but he does have like pretty decent numbers. So, yeah, I'll just go for that because they've got like the attacking upside like you talked about. And I don't know which Villa one I'd play. I've got Gibbs White. Yeah, his stats aren't impressive, but I'm pretty confident he's going to get 90 minutes and... I mean, you've got me a bit worried about penalties now. But I do want a Forest player. I think I'd be mad not to have at least one.
I think so.
And I think the strikers is quite risky at the moment, like picking between Wood and Nwonyi. But maybe Watkins would change that. I'll have to have a think after the stream. Madison and Son, easy captain. Bowen is my EO pick.
Really? Bowen's good, man.
I'm not. I just don't know. I've never been like a huge fan of him.
I mean, he's not even close to the top five midfielders, but this week he is, no? I mean,
I can justify it because it's an EO pick anyway, and I think I'd be mad not to. I think there's not better midfielders anyway. But I think there was part of me that was wondering, could I go against it? Like, could I go Kudus, for example, or Ward-Prowse? But I think I'm just giving up.
Ward-Prowse was benched again tonight.
To be fair, I didn't actually watch the West Ham game. And I did see he was subbed off at half time, wasn't he, in the last league game, I believe, as well. So anyway, I am going to go for Bowen. It doesn't fill me with glee. I don't know why. I know you're a fan because you almost bought him before, you know, he scored the hat-trick.
I mean, I'm not a fan. I hate him because I didn't get him for his hat trick. But I mean, I think he's a decent pick, especially because now they've started playing Antony up top again. So I think this formation of Kudus on and Bowen on the wings, and Paqueta just behind, I think that's working well. And that's why Ward-Prowse is not playing, because Paqueta is playing just behind. I'm not a West Ham fan. It's just the last couple of lineups basically show that's something like that is happening. So I am interested in a second West Ham, especially somebody in the chat is saying Diogo Carlos is injured as well.
Really?
And they've brought in Longley. But look, we will all tinker. I think what's clear is, our defense and our goalkeeper is not going to change too much. Maybe the goalkeeper, maybe the third defender. I think the midfield of Son, Bowen and Madison and the strike force of Tony and Watkins, if he's fit, that's not going to change much. And then it's about these two spots, right? You've got Gibbs-White and Morris. I've got Gibbs-White and Elanga. That's the difference.
That's the thing. And a lot will depend on, you know, once we finish the stream, have a look at Villa, because I want to see how many minutes Bailey plays, for example. Because, I mean, I did have Bailey over Morris the other day, and that could still happen. Obviously, if Watkins is out, I mean, so at the moment, up front, I've got Morris, Watkins, Tony. I mean, Bailey could come in, and I could play him instead of Watkins. Otherwise, I could look at Morris, Tony, Vissa. But I think the Vissa's a little bit risky as well. A lot of the Brentford players seem to have risk outside of Tony.
I mean, Vissa, the thing I wanted to say is a lot of people do like as well. He likes Vissa. Problem is, Vissa has been playing two up top because they've been playing 5-3-2 against tougher teams. He won't play up top again because they will play four at the back against an easier opposition. So he will play on the wing. Maybe it's Mopai who also plays. I don't know. And you know, Bumo could be in the squad. So I'm a little bit off Vissa.
It's a bit too much risk. And I do think if I was confident Bailey started, I'd go Bailey over him. Or, I mean, I might even then look at the Alanga punt like you're doing.
Or
you've got in your current team anyway. But yeah, and I wouldn't mind having a bit more fun with the keeper. But I think part of me, I'd kick myself if the obvious clean sheet, or say obvious, the most likely clean sheet came in and I've just gone for some like Martinez goalkeeper or something like that.
I think that back four picks itself. If there was huge conviction on somebody like a Brennan Johnson or Vissa, then you'd see this change and somebody else would have another third defender, but it doesn't feel like there's any need to.
No. I do think Brennan Johnson would be a lot more popular if we weren't so reliant on Porro or Adoghi as our defender.
I agree. Good question. We're not seeing many Luises in our teams. Any interest in Douglas Luiz?
It's funny because talk about penalties a lot, but
he just got two assists tonight. Another two assists.
I mean, they're at home, aren't they?
They're at home.
There's that home away split. There's no McGinn. I'm building narrative because I don't want him. We've had several opportunities to get him and haven't.
So, I hate him.
So do I. I couldn't do it. Even if he kills us again. And I think a lot of people that have got Luiz are free hitting this week anyway.
Are they?
Well, the handful of teams I know that have got Luiz are free hitting this week. Like, I know Seb has Luiz.
Is Seb free hitting?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought he had like nine players. I'm surprised.
Do you know what? He wasn't on Scoutcast. Was he on Scoutcast on Monday? God, my memory is all...
This is worrying, Rich.
I've had a very stressful day with Reading, so that's all I'm saying.
Okay, forgiven then.
But I've just noticed a few teams I saw with Luiz, like a lot of analytics accounts are free hitting this week, and they tended to be the ones carrying Luiz on the bench.
Yep.
I could be wrong. Obviously, people let me know if I'm wrong there.
We're not going for Luiz because we hate him. Let that be a reason. Free hit is supposed to be for fun.
It's funny, though, because we've talked about 90 minutes and penalties a fair bit. And he is 90 minutes in penalty. So to be honest, it's not an awful pick.
Honestly, if Watkins is in there, I'm not interested. Because I don't know if Duran is the one who scores or somebody else. How do they play? Do they change the formation? Watkins is so big for their attack. It doesn't mean they won't score, but it just means they won't score three. So
very true. Very true.
Might not go for any.
Although it is West Ham, so you never know. But yeah, and it's probably worth people checking out Rob T at the end of the week, because I'm sure he'll update that in the event of a Watkins injury. I mean, he probably will anyway, to be fair.
There'll
definitely be some shift there. I think we said we're going to go half an hour. We've gone 43 minutes.
Of course we have.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you everyone for joining. I actually wanted to say one last thing.
Go for it.
The most common question I get is, I have six players. I can get to eight by taking a -8. Shall I play my free hit or not? And it's very difficult to put a number on whether you should play it or not. But I did some work, and basically looking at the scout, rate my team, and also looking at review and a couple of other algorithms. The players that are expected to score more than 4.5 points, or expected points, is basically Son, Tony, Madison, Watkins, Gibbs White, and Bowen. These are the only. And Gibbs White is only a very, very peculiar, you know, model's pick, so you can also ignore him. These are the only players for which a hit is worth it. And that hit is expected to be worth it only for 0.5 to like 1.5 points. So basically, in short, what I'm trying to say is, every hit that you're taking, you're probably gaining 1 point at max. So in summary, if you're taking hits for a Muniz's or a defender or any other midfielder that I've not talked about, it is not great. So really do think about if your team needs that free hit, because, you know, playing with six players, seven players, or starting with a minus 12, it may delay your wild card. It may delay your free hit, but you may actually end up losing more points in the short term. Just something to think about.
No, it's a really good point. And I think a lot of those players you listed as well, people have already. So
yeah,
that's another thing. But yeah, awesome.
Excellent.
Anyway, let's see how the free hits do. And
last thing, I wanted to show this to Ed. I'm wearing the Fantasy Football Scout shirt.
Oh, nice. I might have cropped it out. Oh, it's nice. I want one, Ed.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Did it come on camera? Okay.
Just good. Then.
All right.
All right. See you all soon.
All right. See you.
Cheers.